Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the December 11th, 2012 City Council meeting. Let the record know that we have a quorum. All members are present, and please join me in a moment of silence. Thank you. And I'm going to turn it over to Christine Johnson to announce our Pledge of Allegiance Girl Scout group.
Thank you, Mayor. I am pleased this evening to welcome Morro Bay Girl Scout Troop number 40021, Estero Pine Service Unit. Welcome. Thank you.
Girl Scouts, attention. Color Guard, advance. Color Guard, honor the colors. Color Guard, post the colors. Girl Scouts, ladies and gentlemen, the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Color Guard dismissed. Please be seated.
That was a great job. Thank you. Did you have any more remarks for the Girl Scouts? Yes, thanks.
I just wanted to add a little bit more to thank our Girl Scout troop and also to announce the names of the leaders. The leaders are Belinda Reyna, Monica Whelan, Jared Whelan, and Anne-Marie Conejo. And if you have any more questions about Girl Scouting in Morro Bay, you can call 720-3986. 720-3986 to join Girl Scouts in Morro Bay. Thanks.
Thank you. And do we have any announcements and presentations?
I do. Thank you. I have a number of them. This next Tuesday, December 18th, we have our Veterans Support Group, which meets usually monthly. It's led by Deanna Kennedy, who has put this together as a group for veterans, spouses of veterans, children of veterans, anyone who is connected to a veteran, and veterans, of course, to come together, talk about issues that they're facing, discuss resources that are available, and overall just sit down and enjoy each other's company. They meet once a month, and this next one is Tuesday, December 18th at the Eagles Hall, which is Northern Morro Bay at 2988 Main Street. And this upcoming one on Tuesday is going to be a Christmas dessert potluck. Sounds like fun. And Deanna's number, if you're interested in learning more about the support group or getting involved as a speaker, her phone number is 440-9263. I have a couple others. We have our National Homeless Day vigil. It's a candlelight vigil that will be occurring Thursday, December 20th from 5 to 6 p.m. at Slo County Courthouse right there on the steps. So that's Thursday, December 20th from 5 to 6 p.m. Just basically to gather, recognize the challenge of homelessness in the world and our community and get together. We also are having continued meetings regarding the Estero Bay Community Radio. We had our board meeting last night, And we are currently streaming online. The radio station can be found at, let's see here, rockofthecoast.com, www.rockofthecoast.com. You can go there and click on 97.3 The Rock to listen to a whole bunch of different programs. Some are radio, more interviews and local news, and others are music, eclectic blend of music. And they will be doing a New Year's show, which is going to be broadcasting from different areas of the Estero Bay and highlighting where people are and kind of doing remote interviews. It should be kind of fun. And the radio program is attempting to stream these meetings, so people that aren't able to attend, they could also go online to that same website, rockofthecoast.com, to view these meetings. And eventually, when we get FCC approval, those meetings will be on the FM dial, 97.3, and we're hoping within the year to have that approval from the FCC. And two more quick ones. We have our kickoff for the Morro Bay Fishing Sustainability Plan. We did receive a grant for $135,000 to basically develop and execute a long-term plan, a strategic plan for our estuary and the fishery, and that would include the environmental and the fishing side. So the workshop, which is a public workshop, will be held Monday, January 7th, 6 p.m. right here in the Vets Hall. And that's a public workshop, the first for the Morro Bay Fishing Sustainability Plan. And then it's expected that the final report would come back to the council sometime late summer next year. So please, if you're interested, attend that. And the last announcement is a follow-up to what I mentioned the other night, was that we have our advisory board interviews coming up. We will have a number of openings for the advisory boards. They're important bodies for the council, help balance our decision-making and provide another opportunity for public discourse and comments and to bring new perspectives. And those interviews will be held the 29th of January. And the application due date, if you're interested in any of the advisory boards, will be January 18th. And we'll be putting announcements in the paper as well as online. You can pick up applications at City Hall, and definitely encourage you to do that. Or if you know someone that you think would be good, get them into the mix, and we'll be having those interviews again on the 29th in the evening. Those are my announcements.
Nancy, please.
I have one rather short announcement. Along with Caroling Cops, who will be out tomorrow night, there will be the second trolley out, and that will be Morro Bay Beautiful, handing out the awards for the Home and Businesses Decorating Contest. We have some great winners this year. I mean, we just had some fabulous decorating going on in our town. So if you'd like to join us, the trolley leaves at 4:30 from the back parking lot of the library, or if you want to call me at 772-3738. You can make sure that we still have room for you, because the more the merrier. We'll be singing carols and planting signs in people's yards and handing out gift certificates. So come join the fun.
George?
Yeah, I want to thank everybody that participated in the boat parade, another successful event. I still believe this is one of the great events that Morro Bay does, and I want to thank the Chamber of Commerce for all they have done for the boat parade, because I guess next year, I believe the Rotary Club is going to take it over. We're looking forward to doing a good a job as the Chamber has in the past. And anyway, and we want to congratulate the Coast Guard, and they seem to be coming up a great parade event there for everybody. They came as a dragon boat, or I didn't even get it. I was so busy, I didn't even get a chance to watch the parade, but it was pretty doggone good, I guess. And the dragon boat was a big, big success. So thanks to all for doing that. And by golly, Christmas is here. Merry Christmas to you all.
Christine?
Well, thanks. That's perfect segue, because I'm going to give you something to put on your calendars for 2013. So on Monday, January 14, is going to be the long-awaited Streets Summit, and that is a special public works advisory board meeting. and it begins at 6 p.m., if I didn't say that yet, here at the Vets Hall. And the agenda will run by, it'll be during the Public Works Advisory Board meeting. So the street summit is a combined, it's two meetings in one. So there isn't a separate street summit meeting. That was a question I had from a few people. So it will be at the Public Works Advisory Board meeting, and you'll have a chance to hear staff review the pavement management plan and the rating process for that, which I think a lot of people are interested in. You can review, they'll review the 2012 street rehab project, the 2012 street maintenance activities, recommendations for the future, and open discussion from the public. So the staff's looking forward to public participation, encourages it, and then the Public Works Advisory Board will bring forward to the City Council recommendations during the goal setting and the budget process, recommendations that come from that meeting. So I know it's a little scary to think about 2013, but January 14, Monday, put that on your calendar. Hope to see you there. Thanks.
Thank you. Just wanted to cover a couple things as far as names. As I was going through, since we have two council members with Johnson, we were kind of clear on Christine and Nancy, so there's no confusion as far as housework goes. I make sure that we're clear on that. And then I just wanted to reiterate as far as advisory boards, the bylaws are available on the city website. So if you have any questions on the advisory bodies themselves, you can access that on the city website. Okay, and then we'll turn it over to closed session report. Rob.
Yes, good evening, Mayor and Council. Prior to tonight's closed session, Council met in open session to discuss real property transactions. The real property discussed was 1185 Embarcadero, 1205 Embarcadero, 1215 Embarcadero, 1231 Embarcadero, 451 Embarcadero, and 1320 Main Street. No action was taken that requires reporting. All of those items are on your agenda for final action from Council except for 451 Embarcadero, and no action was taken on that item either.
Thank you, Rob. Any comments or questions? Any items to pull from the consent calendar? I'd start with, just for information, when Rob, A5 through A7, as discussed in closed session, just a follow-up on the details of why that came up.
Do you want to, well, why don't we take that under the consent calendar? Someone can pull that, and then we can discuss the reasons.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, with that, we'll go to public comment. This is one of the most important parts of our meeting, and we have 3 minutes, so please come to the podium, state your name, and keep your comments to 3 minutes, and we'd love to hear from you.
Hi, how you doing? Can you hear me on this? Okay. I'm Gary Tyler Moore. I do the Gary Tyler Moore Show on Public Access. My name is Gary Hickson. I used to work at the Great American Fish Company with George League when I was 18. I'm 47 now, and I just want to say hello to everybody. And it's been a while since I've been to these meetings. This thing's not loud enough. Can you turn this thing up a little bit for the people? Well, anyway. It'll come out different on TV. Anyway, I think that you guys are doing a great job, and I see you have a new mayor. Last time it was somebody else. I think it was Yates when I was here last time. So it's been over a year since I've been here. I'm trying to do these TV shows. People see me around town. I do a lot for the homeless. Used to live at Roundup of God, which is still there. It was a Christian commune. They got a bunch of pictures of the old Roanoke. I don't know if people remember Roanoke of God, but there's not very many people out there anymore. There's only like 16 people. Anyway, I just wanted to say Merry Christmas to everybody. I'm an actor, and I like being on television, and I'm going to try to attend more of these meetings. I'm trying to do the Gary Tyler Moore Show and some other shows on public access. And I just wanted to say that in 1988, I found myself at the Rio Grande Cinema. I was 24, and watching Ernest Saves Christmas. That's pretty pathetic. You know, I was supposed to be at my mom's, but I was at on Christmas Eve, I was watching Ernest Saves Christmas at the theater. I just really wish they'd put it back in the theaters, but it was really a special moment, I thought, and I wanted to do that and redo the show of fame, maybe with some of the high schools. Anyway, that's all I wanted to say, and Merry Christmas to everybody, and I love everybody, and Merry Christmas, George. good luck with the restaurant, and it's nice to meet everybody. Thanks.
Thanks, Gary.
Hello, my name is Linda Fidel, and I'm here to actually commend the street maintenance people in Morro Bay. That may be a shock to many of you. I live in the Atascadero Beach Tract, where the streets started out with about maybe half an inch of asphalt over dirt, and they have added another half an inch of asphalt over dirt from time to time as the streets became cracked and impossible. I live in an area where the fellow who came to inspect our street said that it was the worst in the Atascadero Beach Tract, and many of our neighbors took umbrage about that because they were pretty sure that their streets were even worse than our streets were. However, the thing that's really wonderful is that when the street maintenance people came, they didn't simply add another half inch over the other half inches that were already there and cracked, but instead they went down to the dirt and added about 2 or 3 inches on top of the street that was there. They didn't do the whole street, but they did a lot of it. And I want to tell you that people in the neighborhood are now bringing their children to our street because they can play there and write on it with crayons and do all of these things, and it's wonderful. No, it really is wonderful. I mean, it's something that has improved our part of the world, and I just want to say thank you, and I hope more of that happens soon.
Thank you, Linda.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. It's wonderful to see new faces. I'm going to talk about what's appropriate for because of the waterfront leases that are on the
excuse me, could you announce your name, please?
Nancy Bast.
Thanks, Nancy.
I'm a longtime resident of Thank you. Morro Bay. A lot of people don't know that the waterfront lease sites are public property. The state lands has the state lands commission has jurisdiction over them, and they have given the city of Morro Bay the administration of them for the public good and the common good. And the city spends money on the promotion of the waterfront leases. According to the state lands, the highest and best use of the waterfront is for water dependency usage, like fish buying stations and boat repair. The last priority is living accommodations on the water. The public has always been kept in the dark about what conditions are in the leases. And we know we don't know how long the leases are good for or how much they pay to the city. It is public land. In the 1980s, because of the abuse or the perceived abuse of those lease sites, a council established a harbor commission that would review those public leases. They didn't have any authority other than to recommend to put them before the public and recommend to the council what they felt was right. It was a short-lived commission because the lucrative and powerful interests on the waterfront influenced the election of a sympathetic council, and the first thing they did at their first meeting was to fire the commission and return it to an advisory board that did not review lease sites. Since then, the leases are negotiated behind closed doors and usually only appear on the consent calendar. Part of the public interest is to have diversity down there. However, several families own multiple lease sites, and we need to know, the public needs to know, how they were, if they were acquired competitively without favoritism. Leaseholders have the responsibility to maintain their sites. That means the revetment, what's under the dock, and they...
Thank you, Nancy.
Sorry. Oh, can I leave this with you? This was a very important part of the talk about inspection of sites.
Welcome.
Hi, I'm Lillian Cannibal.
And I'm Amanda Leary.
I'm 13 years old.
And I'm 12.
I'm in 8th grade.
And I'm in 7th grade.
And we both go to Los Jesus Middle School.
And I've been in Girl Scouts for 5 years.
I've been in Girl Scouts for 7 years.
And we both have went to the Savannah, Georgia for the 100th anniversary.
This summer, or this past summer. So that was our favorite event so far in Girl Scouting. It only took 7 years.
Thank you.
I'll start. Okay. My name is Cassidy Orzag. I go to Los Osos Middle School. I am 13. I've been Girl Scouts for 8 years, and I'm a cadet.
Can you help him with the mic? Thank you. Thanks, Cassidy.
Hi, my name is Hope. I've been Girl Scouts for 3 years, and I'm in second grade, and at Del Mar Elementary, I'm 7.
My name is Michaela Avila. I am in second grade at Del Mar Elementary. I am 7.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Kylie Appleby. I'm in fourth grade. I go to Pacheco. I've been in Girl Scouts for 4 years, and I had a really fun time, and I love helping other people.
My name is Elena Whitmer. I am in sixth grade, and I go to Del Mar Elementary. I've been in Girl Scouts for 6 years. Merry Christmas.
Hello, my name is Belinda Reyna. I'm one of the leaders of Troop 40021 of Morro Bay. First of all, I'd like to thank you for the honor of performing the flag ceremony for you tonight. Our troop has been in existence for 7 years, and it consists of brownies in second and third grade, juniors fourth through sixth grade, and cadets seventh through eighth grade. And over the years, we've been involved in community activities such as the tree planting, the bird festival, beach cleanup, the harbor festival, and recently, the Lila Kaiser Park dinners. Lastly, I would like to say there would be no Girl Scouting without adult volunteers. If you've ever or never been in Girl Scouts and want to help, please come and offer your time, experience, and knowledge. Adult members can be men or women over the age of 18. To join, go to our website, GirlScoutCentralCoast.org or GirlScoutCCC.org. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks, Heather.
No problem. My name is Heather Vesterfelt, and I'm a Morro Bay resident, and I am a Girl Scout. You know, it takes courage, confidence, and character to step up as a leader in one's community, and I congratulate Mayor Jeremy Irons and the members of the council for displaying such attributes. I'm privileged to serve as the board chair for Girl Scouts of California's Central Coast. which includes Santa Cruz and San Benito counties. In the north, Monterey and San Luis Obispo counties, and we stretch south through Santa Barbara and Ventura. Since March 1912, yes, 100 years, we've been building girls of courage, confidence, and character who make this world a better place. You know, I was interested to learn that almost 70% of women governors and members of the U.S. Congress are grown-up Girl Scouts. We have some right here. Christine Johnson, grown-up Girl Scout. First police chief in the United States, Penny Harrington, Morro Bay resident. Our newest police chief, Amy, started out in Brownies. I was privileged also to meet former astronaut and the first female commander of Vandenberg Air Force Base, Lieutenant General Susan Holmes. Now, you know, even the Congress has recognized Girl Scouts this year, naming 2012 the Year of the Girl in honor of our 100th anniversary. President Obama awarded the Medal of Honor to founder Juliette Lowe posthumous, and he's approved the minting of 350,000 Girl Scout commemorative silver dollars. I'll let you know when they're coming out. Here on the Central Coast, we have over 10,000 girl members, all supported by individuals like Linda Brena, 5,000 in number. Now, I know when you think Girl Scouts, you think cookies, but let me educate you. Cookie season's going to be upon us. Please know that Girl Scout Cookie Program is the largest financial literacy program in the world for girls. As young girls learn to step out, speak up, take orders, count money, and take inventory. Today's Girl Scout programs keep up with today's girls, especially with a focus on STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math.
That's a hard act to follow there, John.
Well, actually, I was a Boy Scout, so Valley Forge Troop 73, and ironically, I was one merit badge away from Eagle Scout, which was citizenship in the community.
Thanks.
So I'd like to say good evening, welcome to new and returning city council members, and welcome new Mayor Irons. My name is John DiNunzio, and I'm the Economic Development Program Coordinator at the Morro Bay Chamber of Commerce. Our soon-to-be address will be 695 Harbor Street in early January, and we're still very much in the business of serving your business. My purpose tonight is to plug a new initiative and to extend an invitation to the council members. Firstly, however, I'd like to clarify the program's definition of what is economic development. There are three forms of economic development our program is focusing on. It's business retention and expansion, business creation, business attraction. Activities to support this include a commercial property vacancy inventory, developing and initiating a business incubator program, providing market research to businesses seeking to relocate, and working to support existing businesses directly and through regional partnerships such as the Small Business Development Center at Cuesta College, EVC, and SCORE. These are just a few highlights of the program, which is being directed through a steering committee and managed by the Morro Bay Chamber CEO, Craig Schmidt, and the Morro Bay Chamber Board of Directors. But now a plug for a new initiative. In the wake of Hurricane Sandy, there are a number of lessons to be learned and applied to prepare our businesses and our business community by download via the morrobay.org website or by contacting myself at john@morrobay.org. An important component to this effort is also to recruit business leaders who are willing to step up in a business support related role on a yet to be formed economic recovery team. Please contact myself or Craig Schmidt at the Chamber to learn more about becoming involved. Lastly, is to extend an invitation to each individual member of the City Council and Mayor to consider setting a time each month to join me on a personal visitation to members of our business community. The idea is that we would check our calendars and strive for one meeting a month for the next 6 months for a personal opportunity to sit down on a one-to-one basis with business owners who may not have the availability or an interest in public forums. We already have one such visitation in the calendar, and I'm looking forward to checking in with each of you individually as your schedules the new year. Thank you very much.
Thank you, John.
Good evening, Council. Those charming young ladies are a tough act to follow, but I'm going to give it a shot. My name's Alex Beattie. I live in Morro Bay, and I remember Councilwoman Johnson saying just last night she is welcoming a challenge. I got a challenge for you. It's a challenge the previous council didn't do much with. I hope you can. I'm not going to be real surprised if it goes on to other council members. It probably no surprise to you. I know Mr. Liebig's not surprised when I sit there and tell you it's siting of the wastewater treatment plant thing to do also. Two main setbacks. Everybody's going to sit there and say cost, and I'm not going to ignore the cost. I contend that your consultant has grossly overestimated the cost of this, and if you like, sit down, I'll show you where. The second one is the one that I'm here to address you about, and that is the high level of salts or salinity in the wastewater. This keeps it from being viably usable in irrigation, primarily for avocados. It's not Cayucas' problem. Cayucas got pretty good water. Morro Bay's got bad water. It's so high that it's really it drives the cost up. What I'm asking you to do is to ask your staff, assign your staff the job of finding out where it's coming from, how much it is, who's sending it. Your consultant has pretty much ignored this, and I think they're going to get knocked for it. But I think that your staff is aware of this problem. All they need is some direction from you to get started on it, and my request is that you agendize this issue sometimes in the near future because it's critical to reclamation of the city's wastewater. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Alex.
Good evening. My name is Penny Harrington, and I'm the owner of Ruby Dragon Rock Shop on Shasta. We have so many people here in this town, so many organizations, so many individual practitioners, and nobody knows about them. They're invisible. So we've set up this organization. We meet it on Mondays at 10:30 at the Green Lotus Healing Center at, I think it's 550 Morro Bay Boulevard. And on January 19th, we are going to have what we're calling Wellness Weekend Morro Bay, which will be a tour of all the various places in Morro Bay, such as the Yoga Center, the Green Lotus Center, the Ruby Dragon Rock Shop, and some of the spas that are here, and all of that. And we will be printing a map with the help of the chamber. They've been very helpful. We'll be printing a map and distributing it at the farmers market the weekend before, which I believe is the 12th. And people can go from place to place to place. There will be mini massages. There will be demonstrations of different healing modalities. And it's just a very user-friendly way to get familiar with this aspect of Morro Bay that not a whole lot of people know about. So I hope you'll put that on your calendar also for January 19th. It'll be going all day, and we hope to see a lot of you there. Thank you.
Thank you, Penny.
Good evening. My name is Nancy Castle, and I am a native of Morro Bay, and that was a good segue for me because I want to talk about having fun in 2013. One of the things that we're going to be doing, a concert pianist, and April is going to be Jody Mulgrew, and more will be revealed as we go along. Kind of as a prelude to that, we are having a concert this Friday at St. Peter's. You're all invited, and I hope you come out. Just Duets Plus One. It will be a very nice evening. And then the other thing that I have up my sleeve is a sock hop on car show weekend. So that's the first weekend in May, right here at the Betts Hall. We're going to have a poodle skirt contest and a ducktail contest. We'll do the limbo, although I think I'm going to have to ask people to sign releases of liability before they join the limbo line. And we'll have good music and all of that. So I'm really looking forward to the new year, and I'm really looking forward to having fun in the new year. And it's part of wellness to get out and have some fun and fellowship. So I look forward to it, and everybody have a wonderful holiday.
Thank you, Nancy.
Hello, my name is John Diodati, resident of Morro Bay. Never before in the history of Morro Bay has a candidate won outright in the primary election. Yet all three of the new members did, and you won by significant margins over entrenched incumbents. These victories were directly attributable to your position on the wastewater treatment plant. The community is thirsty for an honest and transparent process in reaching the right decision on the location of our new wastewater treatment plant, and we have given you the green light to take us down that path. Morro Bay is too small and too beautiful to destroy with fear-mongering and misinformation. We are tired of hearing unsubstantiated claims that the cost will triple and the regional board will find us out of existence if we do not build the plant as proposed. We want the truth and believe this new council can obtain the information in a civil and mature manner. The best decision for the community will only be reached if we use these funds for project purposes. We need to be told what the cost is. Residents shouldn't be trying to calculate it on their own. Financing. The Los Osos Wastewater Project received $18 million in grants, many of which Morro Bay may be eligible for. The State Water Board has climate change adaptation funds for projects that help coastal communities deal with the exact issue we are facing right now. How do these programs impact rates, and has staff had discussions with these funding agencies? Regional Board fines. Where exactly is the statement from the Regional Board, or is it just pure speculation from those who seek to spread fear? My experience with this agency is that they do not want to fine cities, but instead want to work with them and help both the city and their agency meet water quality goals. Los Osos, the poster child of delay, wasn't fined a penny over a 30-year time period. South County Sanitary District in Oceano, however, was just fined $1 million this year from a small 5-year rain event because their wastewater treatment plant is in a floodplain, and it's going to be subject to future fines unless they do something at a cost to their wastewater treatment plant. To those of you who fear fines from the regional board, do you really think it is wise to build in a floodplain and risk more fines from spills? Has staff talked to the regional board, and when has the regional board stated on record they will fine us? Yes, moving a wastewater treatment plant is going to be away from the beachfront is going to cost more. But what if the project only added an additional $10 a month or $5 a month? What if the project over a 15 time period actually was cheaper to move to a different location? What if the businesses in Morro Bay and Cayucas thrived because our beachfront recreational amenities were improved? What if new tourists came to Morro Bay and Cayucas and old tourists returned because our coast was accessible and beautiful? Without knowing the answers to these questions, you cannot make the best decision for our city. So you have a lot of work to do over these next few months. I urge you to start working on these matters immediately so the community has the information.
As Betty Winholtz and I would say amen to everything that John Diodati just stated. I would like to address item A1. This is about the annual report of unfunded liabilities and vacation and sick leave accruals. And this is put on the agenda because we were a part of the grand jury report last year that said that we weren't doing everything exactly kosher. And I would suggest to you that your staff report, which is to read and file, doesn't really address the issue that the grand jury raised for the city. And it was that it's not a matter, as the staff report says, of trying to negotiate with the unions. It's a matter of fulfilling the roles or the policies that the city already has. And I will just take a couple of quotes from their report. The city of Morro Bay has 12 employees with over 300 hours of accumulated vacation time and is in violation of its own policies in some cases. The city of Morro Bay should enforce its policies with regard to accumulation of vacation time in excess of allowable time. And all jurisdictions need to constantly monitor and be aware of the sick leave, vacation, and compensatory time so you do not incur further unfunded liabilities. And this all makes for a good, healthy, economic city if we're aware of these things. And so I encourage you not to just accept the report tonight, but maybe go further and do some further study or ask Ms. Slayton to do further research regarding that and how we can come into compliance with where we need to be. With the couple of minutes that I have left, I would like to acknowledge Ms. Bass' comment about the lease sites, encourage you and I consider educating to the public of how this is done and why it's done this certain way, and certainly put the costs in, because that is something that we are in the dark about. And just to close up on that topic, I would like to acknowledge that on the lease sites that you're approving on your consent agenda tonight, that there is language in there that does alter, and I'm a little bit disappointed that the city was able to convince a Coastal Commission to alter the language of Measure D, and that that's an issue that I think that the council at some point will need to address is, are you willing to stick with the People's Initiative and as it is defined north of Beach Street, or are you going to incrementally alter that without the permission of the public? Thank you.
Thank you, Betty. Anyone else for public comment?
Good evening, Mayors and members of the council. This might be very difficult for me, but I'm going to try. This box represents my little dog.
Could you please state your name,
please?
Oh,
Jane Von Kay, and I live at 2755 Hemlock Avenue. And I've been in town since 1980, and Del Mar Park is my local park. On November the 17th, I was in the dog park, and a gentleman came up on a bicycle, a young man, with his large dog. And what ended up is that this is my dog that got killed. It was so badly injured, I had to have it put down an hour later. And this happened about 5:15. The police were notified when I got home, and the pound has been notified. But the problem is, in my little Skippy that was 11 pounds, I had four dogs with me. Two were 11 pounds, one 16, my larger one's 55. It seems very strange that it came off the harness suddenly, but it did. And so he asked me to stand still, and he would jump on it. That didn't work, and it went under the fence from the outside in. I have to give kudos to the Morro Bay Pups, who've sent out 120 letters to see if anyone can identify this young man, as he was on a bicycle and came from North Morro Bay over the bridge in Delmar Park. I assume he is a local person. I also want to thank Steve Marcatello, especially for fixing the slight problem we had at the park. It wasn't anybody's fault. It just happened. After this happened, I took my injured dog, blood everywhere, very unpleasant. I never want to see that again. It's like living in a horror movie, and you're part of it, but you can't handle, you know, you don't really know what to do next. I told him to sit on the dog and don't let it go, and I went in the small dog park and locked myself in. And about 30 seconds later, he comes in the small dog park with the dog. Now, the gentleman admitted having a drink, the young man did, but I think he must have had something else mixed with that drink because his behavior was bizarre. My larger dog, bless her heart, Bridget, probably saved the situation because she decided to take off out of the park. And she took the dog, his dog, with her. And the young man went after both of them, screaming and yelling. I do not know who this young man is, and I do not know the dog. I do not want to slander a breed because I like Great Danes, I like Rottweilers, I like Dobermans, I like any of them. But some of these dogs that you know as pits, or I was calling it an American Bulldog because it was really solid, you know, it's a light tan. It's a female. It's got a white chest and a white head.
Mayor Irons, members of the council, my name is Steve Eckes. I'm a member of the board of Morro Bay Pups, and I come to speak tonight in support of Jane. We are all heartbroken about her loss and the fact that this was a seemingly freak incident in which a dog actually broke into our dog park. To attack another dog, that does not lessen the pain that she feels. We have met with her and with your staff, and we pledge to you that we will do everything we can consistent with what your staff determines should be done, if anything, can be done to prevent this sort of thing in the future. We empathize with Jane's concern for others and We support her urging that this dog and this dog owner be found if possible. We can't tell, and I don't think Jane can either, whether this dog is native to our community and this owner is a resident of our community, or whether this was perhaps a visitor who we'll never see again. But as Jane indicated to you, we contacted our membership and asked them to be on the lookout for a dog fitting the description that Jane gave us. And although that hasn't borne any fruit at this point, we continue to support that effort while urging our members to provide that information, if they have any, to the appropriate city authority, either the staff.
Thank you, Steve. Any more public comment? With that, we'll close public comment. Any comments from council? Nancy?
I just feel the need to let Heather know that I was a Girl Scout. Both of my granddaughters are currently Girl Scouts. Love it.
Thanks, Nancy. George?
I wasn't a Girl Scout.
Sorry. Christine?
I would just like to address Jane and say that I'm very sorry for your loss, and it sounds like a really horrible experience, and I think many of us here, I think Morro Bay, there are more dogs than people sometimes, so I'm sure that many of us do understand and, you know, give you our sympathy for that. So I'm sorry that that happened.
Thank you, Christine. I'm sure that'll be followed up with if there's anything that can be reported on that. Thanks. Let's see. Let's move on to consent calendar. Anybody have anything for consent calendar to pull?
I would like to pull A1 briefly.
Nancy? No. George? Mm-hmm. Christine? I'd like to pull A5 through A7, Rob. And if we can start with that, please. Thanks.
Why don't we first take a motion to...
Motion passes. Moving on to... Yeah. A1, Susan?
I can address any of your concerns that you have about this report if you'd like to tell me what they are.
Yeah, I just wanted to follow up on the public comments regarding the unfunded liabilities, and we had discussed this, which came about because of a grand jury evaluation and some of the accrued unfunded liabilities that we recognize. And... I wanted to give the city manager and Ms. Slayton the opportunity to talk about what you see going forward so that we can address those that we recognize are outside of the limits that we'd like to see.
Thank you. Good evening, Mayor and council members. I'm on.
Can you hear this? All right. Can you hear? Okay. I guess we need to speak closer into the mic.
Okay. Let
Thank
me
you.
See. All right. Thank you. Is that better? Okay. All right. So for our unfunded liabilities, right now we have our vacation caps. Each of our groups has a vacation cap. SEIU's vacation cap is 220 hours. The police department is 226 hours, and once they reach their cap, once police reach their cap, they stop accruing until they've used the vacation to get down below the cap. The fire cap is 2 times the individual's annual accrual, so that one varies with the, an agreement. What we do is every December, once we review the vacation caps, anyone who is over their cap is either paid out or they must submit something to us in writing saying what they're going to do to get their vacation back below their cap. If they happen to have a long vacation planned in January or early in the year, we would allow them to keep that excess and then use it up in the following year. So we are working very diligently with the vacation caps. As far as sick leave goes, sick leave converts to time served with PERS, and there are no caps on sick leave. But as you may be aware, the new pension reform bill has eliminated the ability for employees to use sick leave to add to their PERS time. So that will stop with all new employees beginning January 2013.
And then going forward, it's part of the negotiations. We could bring up the executive and management 400-hour cap if we can get that to be a part of our agreement.
Absolutely.
Excellent. Thank you. If there's no other questions.
Go ahead. Do you have one? Go ahead.
Thank you for that report, Ms. Layton. I also spoke about it because it's a very large, you know, I'm sure the public looks at it. It seems like a very large number and, a risk for the city. Certainly it's something we want to keep looking at as we move forward. But also I would just like to make a plug, and it sounds a little crazy, but I'd like to make a plug for taking vacation. You know, it's not really just about the money. It's about the staff getting a break.
Thank you very much.
Well put.
Mayor.
Yes.
Mayor Aarons, if I may, I wanted to add one other addition. I tried to find it on my iPad, the city council or the staff's response that the city council approved to the grand jury, and I believe in that response there was some misinformation from the grand jury concerning Morro Bay. So I'm going to pull that staff report, but I remember distinctly there were some inaccuracies that the grand jury attributed to the city of Morro Bay in terms of accumulation. So if I can find that, I'll steer that to your direction in the next couple of days, so you can review that at your leisure.
Thank you.
I move approval, if that's okay. Yeah, I'd like to move approval of A1.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 All opposed? Motion passes, 5-0. On to items A2 through A4, Rob.
A5
through A7, thanks.
A5 through A7 is what I consider cleanup amendments to three of our lease sites. The three lease sites are where Verge's used to be, which is now owned by someone different, MMLS. The other one is where Harbor Hut is, and the third one is where GAFCO is. As to all three of those, the amendment, basically what happened was is Coastal Commission, when they reviewed the projects as one of their conditions, said that one of their conditions is the city has to agree to incorporate all of their conditions of approval into the lease agreement. So that's all this does, this amendment really does, is say that the city agrees that all of the conditions that were approved by the Coastal Commission. The other only comments I would make is all of our lease agreements are available either at my office or the Harbor office for review. The amounts of rent paid from each and every tenant is available to review at the Harbor office or my office. There's also on the website the Harbor Management Lease Policy, which would explain exactly how we go through the negotiation process, how the evaluation is done. So that's also available on the website. And we're both available for comments. And maybe I'll talk to Eric about, bringing to the Harbor Advisory Body, a lease negotiations 101 in the process we do go through about how we negotiate with the existing tenants, and when in that last 5 years we also have the ability to go out for an RFP. And in fact, we will be going out for requests for proposals on, I think, 5 different sites in the next couple of months. So those documents are available for anybody to review.
Thank you.
And before that item's approved, Mr. League needs to step out for the conflict of interest.
Thank you for that help. And since there are no others, George, would you step down? We can make a motion for this. Thank you.
Take your cookies. Yeah.
Always wanted to do that.
Thanks, George. Okay, any motions to approve A5 through A7?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
And then we'll come back. Okay, let's take a short 5-minute break, and we'll be right back. Thanks. Okay, welcome back. See, we're on to new business. And our first hearing would be item B1. And
although I use the address 1320 Main Street, that is actually where the Lemos property is. This parcel that we are selling is a very small triangle-shaped property, pretty much right in front of Lemos. It's a standalone parcel, so it's not the actual Lemos. We don't own the Lemos parcel. The parcel in question is APN 068168023, and the only really, it doesn't have a separate address, so we use the 1320 Main Street. So we actually own two parcels of vacant land right there also. There's a large parcel right next to this little tiny triangle property that is right next to the on-ramp for Highway 1. That is not the parcel we're selling. The one we are selling is a 2,069 square foot triangle parcel of land immediately adjacent to the sidewalk and in front of part of the Lemos property. Due to the size and location of this parcel, it is infeasible to develop it. Therefore, the parcel has minimal value to anyone other than the adjacent property owner, which is Lemos. And they have expressed an interest in purchasing it. Lemos is currently going through a redevelopment project and expansion of their building at that site. And so the issue came up of not having ownership to the full access from both driveways. And so they asked that if they could purchase this property. Pursuant to Government Code Section 37421, you are allowed to sell property that the city owns if it adopts a resolution to intent to sell the city property. Pursuant to that section, the City Council on November 13, 2012 meeting, comment. If the city receives any opposition to this, the sale can only then move forward if there's 4/5 vote of the members to proceed. With that, there's attached resolution that staff is recommending that you approve, which is resolution 6512, which would authorize the sale of the property to the owners of the Lemos property. And with that, I'll answer any questions.
Thank you, Rob. Any questions for Rob? Thank you. This is a public hearing. If anybody wishes to speak on this item, please address the podium. State your name. Seeing no takers, we'll close the public hearing. And any other comments, or is anybody willing to make a motion?
If there aren't any other comments, I'm willing to make the motion. Okay, I move we approve Resolution 57-12, authorizing staff to sell the real property located at 1320 Main Street for the sum of $8,462.
I'll second. I'll give it to Nancy. Give it to Nancy. Well, I'm already a winner this week, so give it to Nancy.
Hold on. 865.12. $8,462.
Resolution number 6512. Resolution 6512?
Oh, yes, there it is. Okay.
There we go.
I was in the wrong section there. Okay. let me withdraw my previous motion. Sorry about that. The veteran over here.
I will second whatever you're saying over there.
We have a second. Take a motion. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? None. Vote carries 5-0. Next item, B2. This is item UPO 342 for the address of 901 through 915 Embarcadero, request for a conditional use permit for a concept plan. And Kathy, do you have that?
Yes, sir. Good evening. Before you tonight is, as he just said, UP0-342 for 901 through 915 Embarcadero for use permit for a concept plan. The proposed project is located on the west side of Embarcadero Road, directly northwest of Harbor Street within the city of Morro Bay. The project is within the waterfront harbor zone with a planned development overlay. The surrounding land uses include visitor surveying and retail uses to the south, north, east, and Morro Bay to the west. The project is currently developed by the Hofbräu restaurant, indoor-outdoor seating areas, the Poppy retail shop, some restrooms, public walkway, a view deck, and parking area. This project before you tonight will result in the disturbance of about approximately 7,642 square feet, including approximately 802 of building construction, 640 square feet of walkway, and up to 6,200 square feet for sidewalk removal and replacement. There's no cut or fill proposed on this property or this project. So I think that I can go over just briefly what they're planning to do. This is core enclosed outdoor dining room to general public seating for the benefit of the public. Enlarge the existing harbor walkway by 640 square feet. Add a new harbor walkway and view deck. Install 6 floating docks, which is 1,488 square feet, and a gangway, and remove an existing aggregate sidewalk and replace with concrete sidewalk to connect to an existing sidewalk. Restripe 7 existing parking spaces to provide 5 compact and 2 regular spaces, and finally construct 2 new posts to support an extension of the existing awning across the front of the building. And with that, staff has reviewed this project and found it provided the findings for both the Planning Commission and yourself for the consistency to the waterfront master plan and the use permit findings. And we provide for your consideration the mitigating declaration pursuant to CEQA. And that document was routed up to the State Clearinghouse and for the review period of 30 days. And we received no comments on that back from the State Clearinghouse. That document is included in the supplemental materials you got before you tonight. And I'd just like to point out that during the Planning Commission meeting, there was 2 issues addressed. One was the issues of the front posts up in front of the front of the building and whether or not those impeded traffic along the sidewalk or somehow encroached into it, and it was decided that no, it did not. It is outside that 8-foot required pathway, and that those posts were considered aesthetic and not, they are not structural. And it was decided the Planning Commission went ahead and approved of the amended one that you would find on B2. And it recommends that the council make the following approvals: approve and certify the mitigated neg deck as amended by the Planning Commission, which would remove that one mitigation, and improve the monitoring program that is attached to this mitigated negative declaration. And 2, approve UP0-324, including, and I won't read it into the record here, it's kind of long and involved, all the aforementioned project elements. As described in the staff report of November 7th, 2012, and as shown in the concept plan attached as Exhibit E of the Planning Commission staff report and subject to the findings contained in Exhibit A and conditions of approval in Exhibit B. And I'm open for any questions or clarifications.
Thank you, Kathy. Here we open it up for any comments on that from council. We take it out to Ms. Novak to present this report, or your staff report, please, for the applicant. Thanks. Kathy, we put 10 minutes on the clock for you there for your presentation.
Great, thank you.
Thanks.
Good evening, Mayor Irons and council members. My name is Kathy Novak, and I'm here representing the applicants for the Harbor Center project. Before I begin, I'd like to thank staff for their time and assistance with this project. Since staff has provided a detailed overview, I will focus my comments on some background information and answer questions that have been raised concerning the project. First, the proposed plan before the council tonight is a concept plan, which means that you are reviewing a general or conceptual development plan. After the city approvals, this project will be submitted to the California Coastal Commission for their review and issuance of a coastal development for expiration of their lease site. The city requires that the leaseholders do site improvements to obtain longer-term leases. This requirement can be difficult for some in the city since it requires a large capital investment and a major improvements to be done in exchange for the longer-term leases. As with many other buildings on the waterfront, this particular building is not old enough or in condition that would warrant complete demolition or major remodeling. Hence, the applicant has proposed a project to incorporate as many new amenities to the existing site as feasible, such as the new retail space, public ADA restrooms, new public seating areas, an enlarged harbor walk and view deck, restriped parking on Harbor Street, new sidewalks, and new floating docks. Additionally included in the concept plan are the land and water lease line adjustments, which are being done for a couple of reasons. First, it was discovered during the property survey that the building was constructed outside the lease boundaries. This adjustment will correct the situation by moving the line over a few feet to include the building within the confines of the lease. Secondly, the water lease line will be moved approximately 44 feet westerly. This adjustment will allow the applicant to construct the new finger slips, which will accommodate approximately 6 boats. As it stands now, the current water lease is in its position such that even if a side tide dock were just proposed, it would not fit entirely within the lease boundary, which means that any boat tied up to the dock would also be outside the lease area. This lease land amendment with the added area does not come as a gift from the city to the applicant. The master lease will be amended, which will require that the leaseholder pay a higher base rent and or in combination with a percentage of gross for the slip rentals. Please also consider that the city does not currently receive plans, do not include liveaboards, nor does it include a request to have a sport fishing or passenger for hire operation. That would be done under a separate permit. Number three, the new finger docks will not extend into the navigation channel, but will be approximately 9 feet from the eastern edge of the channel. Number four, the finger docks will require that 3 new piles be driven for dock end supports, while there will be 2 piles for mid-slip boat protection. Number five, pile driving nodes was also mentioned, so just to let you know that the Coastal Commission started a few years back placing conditions on projects to provide either underwater acoustical monitoring included with a not-to-exceed decibel level, or to use a vibratory hammer, which does not produce the sound levels as the conventional pile-driving methods. This project is no different, and as a matter of fact, the applicant requested that the city include this as a mitigation measure in the mitigated negative declaration that's before you tonight. Another issue that's been raised in regards to both the new docks and the walkway is concerning eelgrass. Impacts to eelgrass and to the marine environment are important, so projects are reviewed and discussed and provided in the initial study and checklist that's before you. This results in mitigation measures that will require pre- and post-construction eelgrass surveys, monitoring plans, replacement if necessary at a 1.2-to-1 ratio set by federal policies, avoidance where feasible, the use of open fiberglass grating for the walkway deck, which will allow the light to penetrate to the bay, and much more. Ultimately, these mitigation measures creates a balance for projects such as this in the marine environment. Next, I would like to address a couple of other concerns that have been raised. There was a question regarding the parking along Harbor Street and the reduction of 5 of the more. The right-of-way width of this street end is smaller than the others, and it is less conducive to parking larger vehicles in this particular area. Next, there was some discussion at the Planning Commission meeting regarding the 2 posts. They will be installed to support the awning. These posts will not be located in the sidewalk, but positioned near the existing bench and approximately 1.5 to 4 feet from the sidewalk. The post will be help define the existing bench and planter area to provide a public space outside the sidewalk right-of-way. As a side note, I'd like to mention that the applicant will also be removing the existing light standard and bollards that partially block the sidewalk along Harbor Street now and provide new lighting for the area from the side of the building. Lastly, it has come to my attention that there may be concern for the height for the new awning. The awning is proposed at 15.2 feet, and the purpose for this is to conceal the existing rooftop equipment. The applicant can lower the awning height to 14 feet. However, I just want to make sure that the council understands the rationale for this and that it will be your decision whether covering the equipment or the extra 1.2 feet as height is more important. This project is within a PD overlay designation, which allows the council to make an exception for height if it results in a better design or is a public benefit and can be used for your findings. In closing, I would like to simply say that this project has been thoughtfully designed to enhance and support the visitor serving and boating uses along the waterfront and will also generate additional revenues for the city. I sincerely hope I have addressed all the issues that have been raised and would be happy to provide additional details or answer any further questions that you may have. Thank you for your time, and on behalf of the applicants, I'd like to ask for your approval of this project this evening. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Novak. With that, we'll bring it back to discussion between council on this, and then bringing Kathy back would open it back for public comment.
Yes, and we still have yet to open it to public comment.
Okay, great. Thanks.
So, Ms. Novak, if you could, on the posts, it sounds like at this point the two posts that are in question are the two that are on either side of the bench.
Correct.
Because as I'm looking at the design, the concept design, it looks like there's six posts.
There's some existing posts there now, and we're talking about two additional posts because the awning does not go all the way toward the Harbor Street side of the project right now. So there would be an extension of the awning from the existing toward Harbor Street, and then there would be the two new posts for that part of the awning.
And those are load-bearing.
Let me check.
Yes. Okay. Just wanted to confirm that. And are there any bike racks proposed for the site?
No. The site out in front is very limited. There's the 8-foot sidewalk, and there wouldn't be much room in the front. I don't know how difficult it may in the back, whether there may be room for one in the view deck. I think if you don't mind, I'd like to be able to get to the Coastal Commission and see what kind of restrictions that they might put on us up there first before we entertain additional area that would require or have bicycles and take-away area.
Actually, the city has a bike rack between...
Excuse me.
Mark Allen has a bike...
Would you approach the mic, please?
The city has a bike rack between the gangway going down to...
On the Dark Skies protocol as much as possible, which means trying to avoid avoiding blinding lighting.
We want it
directly lighting down. Okay, I'm just confirming some of these things. If you can, I'm not sure who can do this, but there's a picture that shows the northeast corner. It's the simulation picture.
Yes.
And this has to do with the facade, and you mentioned it in your presentation, Kathy. About the decision of increasing the height.
Excuse me, one second. AGP, can you help us?
So in that decision, you talked about increasing the height to try to protect the equipment that will be on the roof.
Yes.
And I just want to confirm that this is exactly what you're talking about. So it seems like we're faced with the decision of, do we want to, as you'll see in this northeast corner photo, block some additional views of, from this perspective, as an example, of the rock? You can see the top is the existing, the bottom is what's proposed, to avoid seeing perhaps the rock and some equipment. So am I understanding that correctly?
Yes, you're correct. And also we have some discussions, too, just prior to the meeting. It is possible for the architect to change this and go in about a third of the way between the corner and the bay at the 15.2 and then reduce it from that point down to the 14-foot height limit. I pointed out that if you're from the Harbor Walk looking back, you still might see the equipment. But if you're okay with, you know, a partial screening, at least, I believe it's longer than that. Typically, you do a pre-construction survey when within 3 months post-construction. You do a follow-up survey within 3 months. And then you turn those reports in, and then there's typically longer-term monitoring on an annual basis after that.
For 3 years?
Yes.
Okay, because as I read it in my reports, that it was written for three months. I didn't see that second annual for 3 years component.
It's a typical...
Maybe I could ask staff to confirm that or not for me, what's existing... Sorry.
Should we move on and come back to you?
Yes, that would be be good. Thank you.
George, do you have anything? And I'll just do ex parte as far as talking with the agent and the applicant earlier this afternoon. Christine?
I'd like to do the same and mention that I met with the applicant's agent yesterday at the site and got a tour of the site. And I just had a question. The equipment is there now. The equipment we're talking about, I can ask this question, right? Okay. The equipment we're talking about, it exists currently, and it will exist at the end of the project.
Yes.
Okay, so we're currently seeing it now.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks.
Noah, did you have anything?
Yeah, my last question is just to clear up the...
Okay, on page 24 of the mitigated neg deck, it talks about the monitoring in the very last sentence. It says... in such case, reporting shall continue on an annual basis for at least 3 years or until all such eelgrass beds are supporting eelgrass as documented in two consecutive annual. When a report identifies reduction in eelgrass coverage as compared to the existing at the time of the pre-construction, so you've done something to have a deficit, then the report shall identify remedial measures to offset such reduction within the eel beds in the project area at a 1.2 to 1 basis. And then at that point, it triggers the 3-year monitoring to make sure that whatever mitigations or, you know, the replanting of the eelgrass then thrives. So if they do a pre-construction survey and then they do construction and then they do another one after 3 months of completion, and if everything is the same as it was before, you wouldn't have that 3 years.
Okay, and I guess I'm wondering how we would know, because potentially part of the impacts to the eelgrass would be the new deck actually blocking some light, even though it is designed to try to minimize that to the greatest degree possible. How would you, in that scenario, if you don't see any direct impacts to the bed immediately or within that first period, how would you... make sure that over time, because of a light difference, you start to lose that particular patch?
Well, it's my understanding that normally it's proposed to have grading over any area that has eelgrass already identified through your pre-constructive survey. But I assume that if there's some concern, we can add on to this mitigation and make it so that there's, again, another checkpoint after the 3 months. I don't think that's unreasonable if there are some concerns that the 3 months doesn't allow.
That there's times of the year that eelgrass beds can be affected by something that's completely unrelated to this project, such as severe winter storms and things like that. So when you're subjecting a person to mitigate for eelgrass and there's been some extenuating circumstances that had nothing to do with the project, and then require mitigation measures for them to come in and do a replacement can get quite costly. So I think I would just caution that we need to be careful about how we do something just so that these leaseholders don't get tagged with some onerous requirements.
I was questioning was a monitoring, not a specific required mitigation program. You know, the monitoring needs to show what the effects are and the health of the bed is my comment.
Ms. Novak, at this point... I think we really did need to open it up for public comment.
Sure.
So if we can, thanks. Sorry about that. I let that go a little bit too far.
Thank you.
That long. And then if we can open up to public comment, if there is any, then we can bring it back. This is a public hearing. If anybody would like to make a public comment on this.
Thank you. My name is Betty Winholtz, and I do want to respond to some of the comments that were made, apparently in response to some of my comments I made earlier when this was before the Planning Commission or to the Council today. I think there are four specific issues that I would appreciate your deliberating on, and the first one is the fact that the developer is getting 44 extended view extended use into the water that other applicants haven't had. I was on the council for 8 years, and I can think of two times when we extended water out, so I don't think it's a tradition or normal that we do this. I think it's unusual of what he currently has, and that the eelgrass, while there is mitigation that can be had for eelgrass, your first line of defense is to avoid hurting the eelgrass. And then if you have to, then you go to the mitigation. And there's been so much mitigation done, it would be in other projects, it becomes, in my opinion, a cumulative effect. I was not saying that pile driving is illegal or against the law. I was saying that is it wisdom to have pile driving when you can avoid that by not extending his property rights into the water that far, and that would restrict that, and maybe that's more desirable. But the second issue was the aesthetic one. I don't feel that this is an attractive building, and that may be just my opinion, but it does look much more boxy. It hangs out further. It goes straight up more. And I think the question was raised at the Planning Commission, could not these pilings that are supposed to uphold the awning actually come out of the side of the building rather than come out onto the sidewalk where people would be walking and be less of a hazard? And so that whole concept and the fact that we, and I think this was a good point raised, that we're currently seeing the machines up on the, or whatever gadgets are up on top of the roof, doesn't seem to be an issue right now. So why extend that up further to make it more of a block to where people can't see the rock? Just quickly, I think parking is an issue. We have SUVs, we have pickup trucks. These are people from the valley who come over and park here. I think this is an example of when previous projects have been allowed to come through.
Public comment? With that, we'll close public comment and bring it back to council for discussion. Go down at this end. Christine, if you have any more comments.
Yes, just a few. I do know, just by reviewing our own city master harbor plan, you know the one, there's a lot of encouragement that the city has built into that plan, which also would be encouraged by the Coastal Commission to increase opportunities for boating, for coastal access, for viewing, so much so that, you know, they want you to put information about what you're seeing when you're accessing the coast. So I do think that sometimes the challenge for us here tonight is, even though these things are encouraged by lots of outside agencies, including our own city, sometimes it's a challenge to find ways to do that meet everyone's needs. So I just want to kind of make that one point. And then the other point, when I was looking at the picture tonight, I didn't notice it when I was at the site. If we're going higher on the roof, on the awning to cover what's currently there, it's a kind of okay for me that it's all currently there. If it becomes an issue with a view of the rock, then I'm sort of all right with looking at the metal item that's there now. So that's what I'll say for right now.
Tip plan, I think they've done their homework, and I think we need to then move this on to the Coastal Commission because it really meets a lot of our needs. It's going to increase retail space, and it's going to provide us with 6 really much-needed boat slips. So I think especially as a concept plan, the work's been well done, and we need to move it on.
Noah, any more comments?
Yes, I would like to make some comments. I I tend to agree, actually. I think that overall this is a nice project. We have needs for increased boating opportunities, and definitely the idea of a renovation is a good one. When you can, that's by far the most efficient way to go. And the building is a nice building and does have some life to it, so I'm glad to see a renovation project. I would agree with Councilmember Christine that if possible, we should keep those and preserve those rock views. I would definitely preserve that over extending the facade further up. And I say that knowing that this is a concept plan, but also knowing that this is an opportunity for us to communicate to the applicant as much as possible if there are things that fit within our realm of influence and jurisdiction, that we do that so that it makes it as good of a project as possible, and that it's something that when it comes back for a final plan is that much closer to approval. So that is my preference, that we avoid blocking the rock views as much as possible and avoid the facade. There might be a trade-off there to block maybe the frontal version of what you're seeing with the equipment, but I think overall my preference would be just to be hands-off with that completely, because I don't notice it personally. I am sensitive to the extension into the bay, and particular number, it would be somewhat arbitrary, but I asked staff to put together a review of what we have done with previous projects that have been recently approved in relation to keeping the boating and waterways open. And what came back was in relation to, and so I'll open this up to Mr. Schultz or Mr. Endersby to help me with this or correct me with this if I'm wrong, but what Verges and Harbor Hut and Gafco and then also the Caldwell-Redican project were granted as far as extensions. And that condition was basically that before anything was approved for that final lease extension, it had to be approved by the city, of course, and also the State Lands Commission and the American Society of Civil Engineers, Army Corps of Engineers, excuse me. You had the acronym there, the Army Corps. So I think if we're giving them that opportunity to sign off on that final extension, that provides some solid expertise to make sure that we're respecting the boating ways. And I'd prefer that to be included in here to remain consistent, particularly because there haven't been a lot of extensions out this far, and you would expect that there would be more coming, and I know there are. So I'd appreciate that if we can include that as a condition. And looking more closely at the eelgrass monitoring, I think we just really need to plan to the highest degree possible. So these are my general comments, and we can talk about it more if you feel it's necessary.
Okay, thanks, Noah, and everybody. I have some follow-up comments on that. First of all, as far as the concept plan goes, I think it is important to have the applicant leave this meeting with everything that they need to moving forward. So when they come back with a precise plan, that there's really nothing else. You know, they're just talking about the details. They don't come back with some issues of perhaps the awning. So I think it's a good time to discuss that. I just need a clarification, though, on the awning. I'm hearing from you on the awning, Councilman Smuckler, comments about your position on the awning. And so I just want to get clarification on the height of the awning, that it the projection of that side altogether, or not having it there. You weren't really clear on that.
Okay, sorry about that. My primary concern is the blocking of views. When you look at that description there of what it would look like from the northeast corner, you can see that there's a very significant amount of blockage of the rock.
Yes.
It's not a huge view right now, but if you can avoid doing that, my preference would be that you would. and it's not as much the awning itself. The awning can be there, but why extend up further in height and block views, not only from that vantage point, but others? So I would prefer if the heights were reduced to achieve that.
On that, too. But, you know, as it is, they are allowed 14 feet, that entire, you know, from that whole corner all the way down. Isn't that correct?
That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and then the other clarification I needed over here, because you made the same comment, but you weren't specific about it either. So are we, for the sake of discussion, the only concern here is that view shed on that Harbor Street side. Is that correct? Okay.
For me, it is. I think the views of the rock are a key part of the ambiance of the Embarcadero, and if at all possible, we should preserve those.
Okay. Go ahead, Christine. Yeah, go ahead.
I'll just follow up for one moment on my view comment. I have to say, I'm kind of old-fashioned. I really like the existing look of the old building, you know. I understand, though, that it's exciting to add a new feature, and, you know, artistically and architecturally, it can really add a lot to a building. So I understand that that's, you know, an artistic view, and I have just a personal view. But what I like about Morro Bay is what we all like about Morro Bay, that it looks really authentic and of a certain time, right? We're a little frozen in time. And that can be good architecturally. Other ways, no. So I would, if it's for me that the awning is being put on to cover the existing equipment that I think is really not very noticeable, I don't really need it. But if it's for another reason, like I'd like to wonder if it's about providing shade for the bench that's there. I don't know if that's an issue really in Morro Bay so much. We kind of like it when it's sunny, but that's a
conflict. So I wouldn't support, I think, any more eelgrass monitoring unless we already had something in place that was already there. So I think, and as far as including the Army Corps into the condition, I think, you know, I think I could probably support that. And I think that's something that we've got history on as well.
Mm-hmm. Just to clarify, that was the Army Corps as well as the State Lands Commission.
Okay. And just, I'll ask Rob here for a question because I need to follow up with him. Would you comment on that at all with that condition?
With
including Army Corps condition in
well,
there?
That condition's come out of the previous two approvals from Coastal Commission where they had an issue with, you know, was getting close to that navigation channel. So my assumption is Coastal Commission is going to require it for this project anyways. So if you were going to condition it, I'm fine with that. You know, we have to get that approval on the other two projects, and we'll just have to get it on this one.
So this is.
But I kind of look at the way I kind of look at these projects is that, you know, what did Coastal Commission do last time? Because you can expect it to do it on this project, and we use that for eelgrass. You know, every single time we look at what their conditions are, because we know that's what they're going to do. So, you know, I think they're going to condition this project to the same requirement of requiring us to get approval from Army Corps of Engineer, State Lands Commission, and our harbor director.
Okay. Okay, so the only thing left here is the awning discussion. And I did have a conversation with the applicant agent.
Yeah, and to clarify, my position is if there is a little bit of articulation to soften that whole frontage zone, I'm okay with that. But every foot that's added either towards the water or up is another opportunity to block a view. So what I wanted to communicate to the applicant was let's be sensitive to that. And, you know, there's a certain trade-off there. And let's minimize it as much as possible.
So if you're talking about articulation on that, I guess I might bring Kathy back up here in a minute, but just a minute, just for the sake of discussion, to incorporate height-wise and view and articulation, we could leave the proposed design on there for the front third of that as is, which would be 15 feet 2 inches. it would hide the equipment and then drop it down 14 feet, and then that would meet the 14-foot requirement as well, and provide some articulation and kind of be a compromise on that. And I would probably bring Kathy up to see if that would be agreeable.
That would be fine. Let me just point out one thing on the awning. The first portion of the awning that you see facing the Embarcadero side and then also on the harbor side is actually popped out from the rest of the awning. It's going to be about 6 inches or so, so it's not going to be a complete flat line there. So you will have a little articulation, but there is no problem if we go the approximately one-third that you're talking about at the 15-2 and then making the rest of it. Needs to issue a permit. Army Corps always has to issue a permit. That's part of the process. The Army Corps is actually one of the last ones in the process. You'll go through the city Coastal Commission, and then when you finally get all the approvals from the Coastal Commission and the city, then you send it off to the Army Corps for their final approvals. State Lands does not have any type of a permit that they issue for a project like this. The State Lands has given this title and this trust to the city, so the city is the trustee for it. So there's no mechanism for me to be able to go to State Lands and try to get some sort of a permit. Okay, I thought I heard permit, so I just wanted to make sure that you understood. There's not a reason for
Correct.
Us to go to state
Correct.
Lines. So.
Okay, thanks. Okay, closing public comment again, and back to council. Looking for a motion here. Any motions? This would probably include the Army Corps condition that you mentioned. Any other discussion, or you're ready for a motion on this?
I think there's some more discussion.
So I wanted to make a quick point about the parking. I did see the parking that is not appropriate now in the red zone. And the size of the spaces may be getting smaller. In my opinion, I just want to address that. That isn't so vital to me because I do believe we will be moving to smaller cars in the future. And I believe in that area there's plenty of parking for larger vehicles just about anywhere else within that close walk. So for me, the parking is not an issue.
Thank you.
Okay.
And as you have brought up parking again, my thought with the bike rack is the majority of the city bike racks are of the old style that aren't very convenient to utilize. It would be nice if the applicant would take a look at that existing rack and authorization. So the State Lands Commission, I'm sure, is someone that our Harbor Department checks with when it comes to something like this for the channel. So I'd be comfortable with the city and the Army Corps signing off on the extension.
Okay, do I hear a motion to approve this project with the so stated conditions and modifications to the awning?
Yeah, go ahead.
Would you mind actually reviewing, we're talking the modifications to the awning and the approval of the Army Corps. Were the two additional conditions.
Okay, so including the Army Corps condition.
I'm clarifying that.
Right, and then the awning as we discussed with the applicant. Okay, so are we ready to make a motion on that?
Yep, as long as staff is comfortable with what we talked about and is clear. Okay, well, I'm willing to make the motion that we approve. Let me get to my handy little device here. Actually, someone else should make this motion. Let me find
it. I'll take a stab at it. I'd make a motion that we approve UPO 342 901 to 915 Embarcadero, a request for a conditional use permit for a concept plan to make various improvements to an existing facility at dockage, to approve and certify a mitigated negative declaration on the project with the following conditions: that the they include the Army Corps into the condition, and that the harbor side awning.
Point of clarification on your motion regarding certifying the environmental document. Do that include, as modified by the Planning Commission, to eliminate mitigation measure G in aesthetics?
So at this point, should I withdraw it or make an amendment to my motion?
Yeah.
Okay. I'd like to amend my motion to include the mitigated amendment to this? Help me out with that, Rob. What's the?
The amendment would be to approve the environmental mitigated negative
as amended with amended. as amended. Mm-hmm. Okay, so to go through that, just to make sure we're clear, approve item B2 with the amendment to include the Army Corps of Engineer condition, the awning that is one-third at 15.2 feet on the harbor side that drops down to the 14-foot height limitation, and that we also include the amended mitigated deck as through our agenda item B2. Is that clear enough?
Could you also include in that approval pursuant to the findings contained in Exhibit A and the conditions of approval in Exhibit B, just for the record, please?
As so said.
Thank
is
you.
That good enough? Do I have a second?
Yes, I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
On to a declaration of future agenda items. I have a few I wouldn't mind starting with, if you don't mind. I'd like to agendize a management partners assessment study from 2008. I'd like to have a staff report that would identify what it would be to revisit that study that from 2008 and update that to 2012-2013. That would include objectives and through council discussion. So basically, we'd be able to consult with management partners the 2008 study and to see what the cost of that study would be to update it.
I'd support a conversation about that.
Any other support for that?
Yes.
Okay, I got three on that. I'd also like to agendize, and I know I don't have to do this formally, Rob, but I would like to agendize a special JPA meeting. And I need three for consensus on that, and I'd like the special meeting to be for either January 2nd or January 3rd for the purpose of the new council that is being seated. Do I need to highlight the specific items that we...
Yes.
Items that I would like to go down would be to the update, an update. I'd like to visit the contracts for our consultants and discuss direction from current council. And also we've already discussed that the county boards and advisory liaison positions are going to be coming up on the next one. Thank you.
Yeah. And certainly with a special JPA meeting, we can do that. Obviously, there's two distinct agencies that are part of that. So we'll have to poll Cayucas and see if they have a majority that can also be at that meeting on the 2nd and 3rd, and then we can report back to you.
Great. Thank you. I'd also like to agendize a goal-setting workshop, both public goal-setting workshop and council goal-setting workshop. I ask for support on that. Any others?
May I ask a question?
I'd like to agendize goal-setting workshop and public goal-setting workshop and council goal-setting workshop.
Okay, I have just a point of clarification. May I ask that?
Sure.
Is it like was done last year?
I think the idea would be to bring back what our options would be to set that goal-setting workshop.
Okay.
That'd be just basically a general discussion or staff report that would identify, who would help us facilitate that.
Okay, yes.
Any other workshop?
Mayor Irons, I do have a quick question of clarification on that, if I may.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, the Administrative Services Director, Susan Slayton, puts together a budget calendar and presents that to the council. Is that something that you would – is that something you're thinking about? And what that calendar will do is give you an idea of when the budget process or a recommendation on when the budget process would begin and the hearings are to be held. Is that what you're thinking? Or am I missing the boat here?
No. Actually, that might be a good place to start. And I could always, after that review, I can always come back and agendize that if it doesn't meet, you know, what my needs on that. But I can discuss that. So I can just forego agendizing the budget workshop for now and go through that information.
When we bring that calendar forward to you, and we can do that sooner than later, during that time you can have the discussion about what you want to do during the budget process, if you want to have two or three workshops, when you want to have those. So I think we'll encompass what you're looking at in that calendar.
Okay. And then finally, I think this is more simple, just agendize the delayed project status report and just change that, just bring back that resolution for, instead of just a delayed project status report, just to come back as a project status report that would be all-inclusive. And that's all I have, if I have support on that. Any yeses or noes? I only have... So to clarify on that, we currently have delayed project status report, and if we just have a project status report, it covers active and delayed, and I think it would just be clear and simple.
Sure, I was wondering. Coming up in a year and a half to our 50th anniversary of the city, and I'd like to agendize a committee to begin planning the 50th anniversary celebration for our city.
Great, me too.
I'm just, yes, sure.
Okay,
exciting.
Good. Noah, do you have anything?
Yes, I do have a couple. I would like to agendize, we've talked about this before, the pilot neighborhood traffic management plan for the Island Streets area. And it'd be a review of the concept and options. And I have the staff report prepared for that. And I would check in with Mr. Livick to make sure that's updated.
Yeah, I'd support that.
Yes.
Okay, and then I would also like a review of the last two resolutions on the reductions on impact fees.
Could you be more specific on that?
Yes, I would like to bring those resolutions back for the new council to review and discuss options to either update or adjust those impact fees.
Okay. Any support on that?
I would like to work on that a little bit with Noah, if I could. The agenda, and would it be that we'd have some, I guess the staff report would bring back the history of what's happened since. I agree with George.
Okay, good. Okay. So with that, we're all adjourned. Thank you.